word's already been good enough here this morning that I feel like we could go home and say it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Already had one saved. And I'm telling you, that blessed my heart. Nathan, I've been praying about that for a while. A couple months ago, I was sitting here on the platform getting ready to preach, and I felt like the Lord told me that you was lost and you need to get saved. And I've been praying for you. And see him trust the Lord this morning. Just, I don't know, man, my heart's full. Will you grab my glasses, Levi? Did y'all turn to Mark chapter number 4? About half blind and my eyes get all teared up and I sure enough can't see. Amen. Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 35. Look with me. Now, this is going to be familiar to some of y'all, but you just bear with me. It don't hurt you to hear something again.
Amen.
You listen to the same songs over and over and over. And I struggle with it. It's been years since I preached this message, but I struggled with it and fought it yesterday. And I said, Lord, I don't want to preach a rerun. I've got something fresh. And the Lord said, no, you preach what I give you or preach by yourself. I said, well, I'd rather have you. Amen. So I'll go with the rerun. Amen. Mark chapter number 4 this morning goes right along with the song Levi just sang about. The Bible said, in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And the Bible said, and there arose a great storm of wind. What kind of storm was it, class? It was a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now, say that word with me,
full.
I don't know if you fish much, but if your boat gets full, the next thing on your calendar is sinking.
Amen.
Amen. And this was back before they had Ranger bass boats. You know, you can cut them in half and they won't sink, so they say. But this was back, but this was when they had wooden boats. And when the boat got full, it sunk. Now, I'm talking to somebody this morning whose boat is full. Have you ever made this statement? I've had it up to here. I've had about all I can take. I'm scared to death at what may happen next. That's where they are, and that's where some of you are this morning. Your boat is full. You've done all you know to do, but this, verse 38. The Bible said, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a what?
Great.
A great calm. What kind of storm was it?
Great
storm. He replaced the great storm with a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have, say the next two words,
no
faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want to back up. It ain't got nothing to do with the message, but I want you to look at verse number 40, where the Lord looked at those disciples and said, how is it that you have no faith? How much faith did they have? There is a crowd out there on television that'll tell you, if you've got faith, you can be healed of cancer. If you've got faith, your finances can turn around. If you've got faith, the deaf ears can open and the dumb can speak. But it all is dependent upon your faith. Now, I know without faith it's impossible to please God. But God is not bound by your measure of faith. God can do what he wants and when he wants. God can work despite you. Are you listening to me? How much faith did they have? No faith. How great a miracle did they see? A great miracle. God worked in spite of their unbelief. And if you'll look back on your life, the greatest times or the greatest things that you've seen God do in your life when your faith was at its weakest. I've seen God make a way when I didn't think there was a way. I've seen God work when I didn't think it could work. I've seen God step in and just do the miraculous over. And what that did is build my faith. God had to prove himself in my life so that my faith in him would become bigger. I've got great faith this morning. But I remember when I had no faith. Simply because of what I've seen God do. Because of what they saw God do. Hey, they woke him in doubt. But the chapter ended in awe and wonder. They stood back in the redneck version, that would read far out, man. Did y'all see that? Wow, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Oftentimes in life, our life is described. There's songs and poems and on about how our life is depicted as a ship out on the sea. Sometimes, thank God, it's smooth sailing. Amen. I love smooth sailing. I love being on a on a lake early in the morning, especially right down there off of Nebo Road on Waters Lane over there. Amen. I love to be over at Brother Anthony's early in the morning. Miss Denise bring us a biscuit out there to eat and some coffee. And that fog coming off the water. And you look out there across that lake and it looks like you're literally sitting on a sheet of glass. Man, ain't that pretty? Amen. I can almost worship right there. Amen. I'm telling you, man, you get that picture in your head and tell me they ain't a God. That didn't come from an explosion. Amen. God made. But sometimes life ain't that way. Sometimes it's a storm. Sometimes it's a fight and it's a battle. Now, there's that same crowd on TV that'll tell you if you got faith in $20, you can get your help you need. Kills me them faith healers wearing glasses. Why don't they bop their cell phone on the faith? Amen. They got faith to heal everybody but the self. Amen. Somebody said, you knocking faith? Oh, yeah, I'm knocking them. They're a bunch of frauds. Amen. They out for the money they can get out of it. We ain't after your money this morning. We after your heart. We want to see you get some help. Amen. But that crowd will tell you if you got faith, you won't have no problems. That's a lie. That's a lie, man. The Bible tells us clearly in this life we shall have tribulation. You say, well, what if I'm saved? Hey, you still got trouble. You just got Jesus to go through that trouble with you. Amen. Oftentimes we refer our life as to a vessel out on the sea, a ship on the sea. Sometimes it's smooth sailing, but a lot of times it's rough sailing. Sometimes, have you ever been there to where you thought, you wasn't going to get out of this one? Come on, talk to me. Where you literally thought there was no way. I don't see how we're going to get through this. But then you did. Ain't God good? Amen. Somebody said, what don't kill us just makes us stronger. Amen. I'm glad I'm not in this thing alone. I want to look at several things in our passage of Scripture this morning and preach to you this simple little thought, a boat ride with Jesus. A boat ride with Jesus. I want you to notice in verse number 35 where we began. He said, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them. Now watch these next two words. Let us pass over unto the other side. I want you to notice, first of all, in our passage this morning, I want you to notice the Savior's invitation. The Savior's invitation. Jesus said, let us. I'm glad he didn't say, y'all go. It's just like when he called Noah into the ark. He didn't say, go into the ark. He said, come into the ark. That meant God was in the boat with him. Hey, listen, at salvation, Jesus invites us to ride in his ship. We sing songs about the old ship of Zion. Brother Jack comes by every now and then and sings Ship Ahoy. And boy, how we love that. I'm glad I got in the boat with one who has never lost a vessel. I'm on board with the captain this morning. He said, let us pass over to the other side. They did not know the storm was coming, but he did. Now, if the Lord says, let us pass over to the other side, honey, mark her down. You're going to the other side. I don't know how many storms is in between here and heaven. We've sailed through quite a few as individuals and as a church. But I'm here to tell you, hey, the sun's coming up in the morning. I don't know what you're going through right now, but thanks be unto God, we have a promise of a greater day. We have a promise that we are going to the other side. Amen. We preach funerals. Man, we've had so many funerals in the last few weeks, it's ridiculous. Preached one this past week, 40, how old was David, Ronnie? 45, 46 years old. Man, just went home to be with the Lord. His old body was laying there in that casket, and I was just going to the funeral and wound up having to preach it. And his body was laying there, and I thought about the day Ronnie stood right there, Brother Broderick, in front of where you are, and told me about everything, the illnesses that he had. And he said, Brother Eddie, I'm fighting a battle. He said, man, this is the biggest fight of my life. He had cirrhosis of the liver and all kind of stuff, had a grocery list of things wrong with him, and he stood right there and told me, he said, I'm fighting the biggest battle of my life. And I stood over that body at Piney Woods Baptist Church on, I believe it was Thursday, and I stood there and looked at that battle. I looked at that body, and I heard those words, man, in my ear. Brother Eddie, I'm fighting the biggest battle in my life. And I just leaned over and whispered under my breath, buddy, you won. You won that battle, son. It's over. Hey, thank God. Somebody said, oh, he didn't get healed. Oh, yes, he did. He got the ultimate. Where's he at? He's on the other side. He's passed over to the other side. But one day he had to make a decision to get in the right boat. Jonah in the Bible. You know the story of Jonah and the whale. Jonah in the Bible made a bad choice one day. He got on the wrong boat. He got on the wrong boat. God told him to go one way. He got on a boat going the other way. Some people are in the boat going the other way. You need to change boats and you need to change captains. Amen. Amen. Somebody help me this morning. Hey, I'm glad I'm in the right boat. I'm glad I'm in the boat with one who knows the way. Amen. A lot of people's riding that religion boat. That religion boat will leave you drowned, son. Amen. A lot of people are riding in that baptism boat. Amen. I asked a lady one day in our church. She said I want to join the church. I said, have you been saved? She said, well, I was baptized when I was little.
Yeah. Come on, preacher.
That just makes you wet.
That's right.
It don't make you saved. Yeah. Amen. Y'all okay? There's nothing in that water. That's city water. It'd probably scare us to death if we really knew what was in it. That water can't no more wash away your sins than a priest wearing a dress can. Are y'all okay? People go to a Catholic church and get in a closet and look through a knot hole to a knot head and confess their sin, who can no more forgive their sin than a man in the moon. But I'm glad I've got one here this morning. Woo! Thanks be unto God who forgives us all our sin, and we can come directly to Him. Amen. I'm no medium. Are y'all listening? I'm no mediator. But I can point you to one. How could I forgive your sins when I've got sins? That's like the pot calling the kettle black. I would love to go here at Brother Freddie and go and sin no more. I wish I could do that. I wish I could just clean all y'all up. We'd cancel RU. We wouldn't need it. We wouldn't need no Victory Valley Ranch. We wouldn't need no home for men coming out of jail if we had the power just to forgive everybody's sin. Hey, man cannot forgive your sin, but I have a God who can. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm asking you this morning, are you in the right boat? Are you in the right boat? I have a phobia. I fly and preach all over the country. I get on the airplane. It's almost a, what do you call that, where you have them little ticks and habits? ADD, is that it? Or OCD. That's what, I'm OCD. I will sit at the gate in the airport, Levi, and I will look at that sign. They have like a marquee sign over the desk where you check in. And I'll look at my ticket at my flight number, and I'll compare it with the flight number on that thing, and I'll look and make sure that plane's going where I'm going. I have a phobia about getting on the wrong plane. I got on a plane one day and I was going somewhere. I forgot where I was going. Going to Michigan. And I got on that plane and the pilot come over and said something about on our flight to Memphis. I started hollering, "Hey, hey, hey." The flight attendant come running back and she said, "What's the matter?" I said, "I'm on the wrong plane." I said, "That man just said we're going to Memphis. I'm going to Michigan." She said, "We're stopping in Memphis." She said, "Settle down. You're going to Michigan. When we stop in Memphis, don't get off." She put her hand on my hand. She said, "Is this your first time flying?" I lied like a dog. I said, "Yes, ma'am." She offered me a free martini, and I said, "No, thank you." I have a fear about being on the wrong plane. Hey, in life, I want to make sure I'm in the right boat. I want to make sure I'm in the right vessel that will get me to where I'm going. One of these days, this old body's going to give up. His heart's going to stop beating. These lungs are going to be deflated, and my life will be gone. I want to make sure I wind up where I need to be. And that place is heaven. Can I just say to you this morning, very, I guess, bluntly, there's only one boat going that way. There's only one boat. Most famous preacher in America will stand flat-footed and lie to you and say there are many ways. His wife's got more backbone than he does. Y'all don't know who I'm talking about, do you? He's a liar. I mean, I love what he says, but it's what he don't say. There are not many ways. Larry King asked him, "Oh, what about them Muslims who flew the planes into the Twin Towers for their religion, for their God? Are they in heaven?" "Well, Larry, I just don't know." "I do. They're burning in hell, friend. You die without Jesus Christ, hell is your future. But I'm glad we have the invitation to get in the boat with him, in a boat that's going the right way. AA ain't the way." Hey, are y'all listening to me? I'll be honest with you. I love our RU program, but RU in itself ain't the way. It's who RU's built around. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." I wish there were many ways. I wish you could just pick out the one that suits you. That's the way they're doing church today. They got biker church, cowboy church. That's cool as grits, man. I'm serious, man. They have church, then they rope afterwards. I thought, man, that's cool. But I only have one problem with it. I bet an Indian would feel uncomfortable. Somebody asked me one day, they heard me preach on the radio. They'd never met me. And they come to church. They were passing through and they came to church on Sunday morning and shook me at the door, shook my hand at the door, husband and wife. And the lady said, "I got to just say something." I said, "What is it, ma'am?" She said, "We've been listening to you on the internet and online." She said, "I could have swore you was black." I said, "Well, I ain't looked far up that family tree, but could be. I'm from the South. We all Heinz 57 around." She said, "I thought we was coming to a black church." She said, "I didn't know it was a white church." I said, "This ain't no white church." Y'all listen to me. I said, "This ain't no white church. This ain't no black church. This ain't no brown church. It's a Jesus church." Somebody help me right there. Amen. Red, yellow, black, and white, we all precious in His sight. Hey, I just want to make sure we're all in the same boat. Specialized church. That's for the birds, man. Amen. I'm for biker church. Let them come in here. Cowboys can come too. And Indians can sit right beside them. Amen. Y'all all right? I'm just here to tell you this morning, it's about Him. It's not about your lifestyle. It's not about what suits you. It's about what suits Him. Amen. Amen. He died because He can't look on sin. He died that He might cover our sin. Amen. And forgive us that we might have a home in heaven with Him. The Savior's, there's more preach here this morning than I thought they would. We notice the Savior's invitation. Come, let us pass over. Let us pass over. Listen, they woke him in doubt. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you even care? You got us in this mess. You ever felt like that?
Amen.
You ever got a little sideways with God?
Yeah.
Oh, I have and told him about it.
Yeah.
I've told God flat-footed, this ain't right.
Amen.
This ain't fair. Yeah. This is unjust, and you did this.
Yeah.
And over and over, the Holy Spirit said, just hold on. You ain't got a clue what I'm doing.
That's right.
If you just sit back and watch me work, you'll be shouting after a while.
Amen.
We notice the Savior's invitation. But I want you to notice the storms that are inevitable. Look at verse number 37. The Bible said there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. That's big trouble. That's big trouble. These were experienced sailors who sailed for a living and did not know what to do. They had come to their end. They had come to the end of their means. They had done all they knew to do, so they woke him up. I say we ought to wake him up when the clouds roll in. Before the first drop of rain ever falls, before the waves ever mount, we ought to say, Jesus, we need your help. Man, I know it's good to be saved, and it's good to be a child of God, and it's good to have the peace of God in my heart. But I'm glad I'm anchored in somebody this morning, that when the storm comes and when it don't look good and when it looks bad, I don't have to give up hope. The storms are inevitable. I don't know if you've ever heard the old saying, you're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or about to go into a storm. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
I got some people this morning who are in a storm. Amen. I got a young family at home this morning. Chris wasn't feeling well. Lord willing, they'll be here tonight. Biggest storm of their life.
Oh, yeah.
Them boys are thinking about daddy not making it through. Mama's thinking about having to bury her husband. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of that storm, the doctor comes in and says, we can't even tell he's got cancer. Woo! Thank God for doctors. But I'm glad they ain't working this one on their own. Sometimes it gets bad. And when it gets bad, we need God. I'm glad he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I will be with him in trouble. I'm glad Jesus was in the boat. Had he sent them on their own, they wouldn't have made it. But he was with them. I'll never forget years ago, I had been to the ocean. I had been in the ocean. But I had never been on the ocean. I had just gotten saved. I hadn't been saved no time. And the leaders of our church at White Oak Springs, the deacons took a trip every year deep sea fishing. And you had to be somebody to go. They didn't invite bus kids to go on that big fishing trip. Right before the trip, somebody canceled and couldn't go. And Brother Roger Cole kind of took me under his wing. When I got saved, he's in heaven now. He said, Ed, somebody canceled and can't go on that trip. He said, reckon you could go? I said, let me pray about it. Yeah, I'll go. And it was done paid for.
Amen.
That's a double whammy. Yeah, count me in. I'm going. Well, there was about 11 of us. We chartered a boat out of Destin, Florida. We got down there at midnight on a Thursday night. We're going to fish for 2 days out on the ocean. We got down there on the dock, and it was the first hurricane they named after a man. Do y'all remember that? It was a hurricane. Y'all remember that? That's been a long time ago. And I forgot what his name was, but we went down there in the middle of that hurricane. And all the way down there, I said, Roger, they talking about a storm. He said, oh, it'll be all right. He said, that's way away from where we going. It'll be all right. I said, man, what if we sink? He said, nah, we ain't gonna sink. It's gonna be all right. We got down there and was loading our stuff on the boat. It's midnight, and you can't see your hands in front of your face hardly, and my feet are wet. And I said, Roger, my feet are wet. I mean, we in the bay, in the, what do you call that, the marina, where they park the boats. That's where we at. And my feet's getting wet on the dock. The waves is coming up on the dock. He said, that's normal, happens all the time. He said, don't worry about it, it's going to be all right. I said, "You sure?" He said, "I'm sure, Ed, get in the boat." I got in the boat reluctantly. We started out of that. You have to go that idle speed, you know, there in the bay. And we was going out between them buoys, and that boat was going up and down. I said, "Roger, it's pretty bad." He said, "Nah, this is all right. This happens all the time. It's going to be okay." Son, we got out of that bay, and it was a different program. I looked over at Roger, and he had his arms wrapped around a pole in the cabin of that boat. I mean, that boat wasn't going, it was going, wrong. It would just get silent. Bam! And the whole thing would just shake, and made with water coming in the sides of the boat. I looked over at Roger, and he's wrapped up holding that pole. I said, "Rog, this ain't good." He said, "No, it ain't." I mean, man, I seen grown men crying. I thought the next morning I was going to wake up with Gilligan, the skipper, and Marianne. We was in trouble. I looked over for some comfort from the deckhand. The deckhand was next to Roger and had him a hunk of pole, too. I said, "We're dying." I looked at that deckhand. I said, "Have you ever been in it this bad?" He said, "I ain't never seen nothing like it." I said, "Oh, my soul." I hung on as long as I could, and I thought, "I'm going to see the captain." I looked at that deckhand. I said, "Where's the man driving the boat?" He turned loose that pole and said, "In the wheelhouse." I said, "How you get there?" He said, "Up a ladder outside that door." Son, I'm telling you, it was just like on TV. Man, my legs was flying in the wind. I ain't lying, man. It was bad. I got that ladder, and I climbed up that thing, and I peeked over. I was at the top rung of that ladder, and I peeked in there, and there he was. Sitting in a recliner. Drinking coffee and watching TV. I ain't lying. I peeked up over there. I said, "Man, what are you doing?" I said, "We dying and you drinking coffee and watching TV. This boat is gonna sink." He said, "Come on up in here, son.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Get you a seat." And the whole time it didn't dawn on me. I don't know why, but it seemed to be smoother up there where he was.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
It didn't seem near as bad, Brother William, up there where a captain was. He said, "You want some coffee?" I said, "I want a live." He said, "Man, ain't nothing to this."
Yeah.
He ain't even driving. He ain't even driving a boat.
Come on, preacher.
He said, "I got this thing on automatic pilot." Yeah. He said, "I can go to sleep if I want to." He said, "This thing you think's a TV?" He said, "This is a, help me, Loran, radar. This is radar." He said, "You see this red dot right here?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "That's us." He said, "You see this red dot right here?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "That's where we go." He said, "It ain't nothing gonna stop us." He said, "Our course is set."
Amen.
Our course is set. He said, "Now if you'll just go back down there and tell all them crybabies to hush up and go to sleep," he said, "I'm going to wake you up about 6 o'clock in the morning." He said, "And when you wake up," he said, "if you'll look over the right-hand side of the boat," he said, "you're going to see a big old orange ball." He said, "It's a buoy." He said, "You see, I've already been where we're going."
Yeah. Amen.
I've already been where we're going. I charted the course. I set the course. And we will get to where we're going. I walked, I climbed back down them stairs. I walked in that room, and everybody's looking at me. What did he say? I said, "Everything's going to be all right, boys." Amen. Everything's going to be all right. I've talked to the captain. We're going to make it to where we're going. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I've talked to the captain this morning, and we're going through to the other side this morning. Amen. Hey, I just talked to him before I come out of my office this morning. It's going to work out. It's going to be all right. 6 o'clock the next morning, he rung a bell. We come out of that cabin. Man, that sea looked like glass. What had scared us to death the night before was the prettiest thing I'd ever seen in my life. You could look as far as you could see in any direction, and it looked the same. You couldn't see land anywhere. The captain's up there on the deck. He looked down at me, and he said, "Hey, boy, look over the right side of the boat." I looked over the right side of that boat, and there was that big old buoy. He took a sip of his coffee and said, "I told you. I told you we'd make it. Now let's catch some fish." We have the Savior's invitation. We have the storms. They're inevitable. And sometimes we think we're not going to make it through them. But God has proven himself over and over and over and over and over. Some of you are fretting right now about what you're going through, but you've already come through something worse before. If you'll look back how good God's been in your life and trust him this time like you did last time, hey, don't give up now. Don't jump out of the boat. Worst thing you can do is jump out of the boat. Stay in the boat. Just stay in the boat. Grab you something and hang on. Pray for daylight. Amen. The Savior's invitation, the storms that are inevitable. Let me give you this. Then there's the seeming of uninterest by him. In verse number 38, they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" You ever gotten a place in your life you didn't think God cared? Come on. Be honest or lie. One of the two. You've gotten a place where you thought God just didn't care about you anymore. God's left you hanging. God's left you out to dry. A lot of times we blame God for something God ain't got nothing to do with.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I used to get mad at God because my daddy left when I was 4 years old. God didn't have nothing to do with that. That was all daddy. Y'all okay? It ain't God's fault your daddy left. It ain't God's fault your mama left. It ain't God's fault your wife left or your husband left. God gave man a will. You do what you want.
Amen.
You can pull out a gun and blow my brains out right here this morning. That don't mean God had nothing to do with it.
Right.
Y'all okay?
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe God allowed. Hey, God allows you to do whatever you want.
Amen.
You got a free will, man. You can do what you want to do.
Amen.
But we get in those places sometimes where we feel like God's left us all by ourselves. When my son was in a coma, when he was 16 years old, I thought God had turned his back on me. I didn't know what God was doing. I couldn't see the other side. You see, the disciples couldn't see the other side. Jesus had a place to go. He had somebody to meet with. Jesus had a purpose for taking that trip. They didn't know what the purpose was. All they knew was this storm was bigger than they could handle. Joseph. In the Bible, his brothers were jealous of him because of his dreams, and they put him in a pit, and then they changed their mind and they sold him into slavery. He went from the pit to Potiphar's house, where he was accused of molesting Potiphar's wife, which was a lie. And then he went from Potiphar's house to the prison. Joseph had no idea where he was going. But he just stayed faithful. He just trusted God, even in the pit, even in Potiphar's house, even in the prison, he trusted God. He didn't know the palace was coming. He had no way of, he had no crystal ball. He had no psychic to call on the telephone. He had no way of knowing that he was going to be the ruler of that land because of everything that he had been through. But it took the pit. It took Potiphar's house. It took the prison to get him to the palace. Sometimes we wonder what God's doing. Maybe God's letting us go through something to get us where he wants us to be. Amen. Do you understand that if this church was like it was today, 22 years ago, when I was voted in as pastor, I would have shot myself by now? Y'all okay? 22 years ago, had I had to do 9 funerals in 5 weeks, I wasn't ready for that. There's no way. It took a few storms.
Amen.
To increase our faith and to get us where we are today. And there's been many times in the midnight hour I've cried out, "God, where are you?" You remember that little poem, "The Footprints in the Sand"? That was written by Brother Willard Thomas, dear friend of mine who's in heaven now. He said, those times that you only saw one set of footprints was when God was carrying you. When you think God is at his farthest away, that's usually when he's his closest. When you think he don't care, that's when he got you right in his eyes. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. The Bible said he's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He knows how you're hurting, and he cares. Don't think God doesn't care. Don't think for a second God doesn't care. They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And I love the way he answered it. I love the way that he answered it. He didn't say a word to them. He just stood up and rebuked what was fearful in their life. He rebuked the wind. How cool is that? Have you ever tried that? I talked to Brother Bill's daughter back here this morning. She lives in Amarillo, Texas. I love Amarillo, Texas. I love that place. She said, it's very windy there. I said, yes, it is. I've been to Amarillo many times. Never have I been able to look at the wind blowing and go, stop that. That's enough. Him. Him. That's a Greek word. It means settle down. Not one time. Try it sometime. Go to the ocean. See if you can make the waves stop rolling.
Amen.
He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. Now, I just picture the wind and the sea going, I thought you told us to blow. Well, I did, but now I want you to be still. I believe the fish stopped swimming. He said, peace, be still. He did care. There was a great storm, but at the end of that storm was a great calm. I don't know how many of you have experienced that. I've seen it in the funeral home. I've seen it in the hospital waiting room. I've seen it in the midst of divorce, heartache. I've seen the Lord step in and say, it's going to be okay. We don't always know how. We don't always know what God's going to do, but he can give us peace in our heart that he's going to do something. The Savior's invitation, the storms that are inevitable, the seeming of uninterest by him. Then lastly, and I'm done, the sure instruction by him. Verse 39, he said, peace, be still. And as we just said, there was a great calm. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what you're going through. The chances are you're in a storm. You say, preacher, I'm not in a storm. Well, get ready.
Amen.
Get ready.
Right.
Sometimes I want to change the name of this vessel to the SS Minnow. If we're not in a storm, there's one coming.
Right.
You say, well, I got plenty of money in the bank. My health's good. Better hang on.
Right.
You better make sure Brother John come and get us a song this morning. You better make sure you're in the right boat. Let's sing Just As I Am, Brother Charles. The Savior's invitation. Are you on the right ship? Are you headed in the right direction? Let's stand our feet all over the house this morning. What page, Brother Charles? Page 270 in the Soul Stirring Hymns. Listen, while they're getting ready to sing, could we just bow our heads this morning? Nobody looking around, heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to be real blunt with you. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you saved? If you died right now, are you sure heaven would be your home? You say, preacher, I know without a shred of doubt that I'm saved. I can tell you where I was. I can give you a testimony and tell you about when I trusted Christ as my Savior. I know I'm in the right boat. Could you slip up your hand? Say, preacher, I got that settled. I know that I'm saved. You can put them down. I wonder if there's somebody, listen to me, I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you. I've never one time in my ministry drug somebody to the altar. We don't play that way. But I would like to pray for you.
If you say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand, I'm not sure. If I died today, heaven would be my home. And I'd appreciate it if you'd just remember me when you pray. If you can really know, I need to get that settled in my heart. I need to get in the right boat. I need to know I'm going the right direction. Preacher, pray for me. Just slip up your hand and put it right back down. God bless you, son. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm not sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. Please remember me when you pray. Anybody else? God bless you, ma'am. Oh, let's just be obedient this morning. Listen, you don't even have to raise your hand. God knows your heart. He knows exactly where every one of us are. Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He knows where you are and he knows what you need. He has the answer that you're looking for this morning. Let's pray together this morning. Father, as we come to you this morning in Jesus' name, Lord God, we thank you for a good day. Lord, thank you for a good time together with our people, Lord. This has been a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And God, we just bless your name for it. Now, Lord, you've seen every hand that was raised. You know every heart. Father, I pray nobody leave this place lost today. Have your way in this invitation. God, we'll give you glory for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.